Accession number 19913, Reel 5.
Mr. Cunningham, both Reel 5.
So it was like having been in an arena as a gladiator and faced an adversary with a reputation and beaten him. You know, it was a great feeling.
So it's the effect of the adrenaline, you think?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. And in fact, if you talk to John Martin, he feels exactly the same way. He misses the rush of adrenaline that you get from being in action. And he'd go back again tomorrow, like I would.
But isn't there a kind of a withdrawal symptom as the effect of the adrenaline wears off?
Oh, yes. Yes. You have a price to pay. You have a price to pay. And in fact, I'm still paying the price today.
In what sense?
I don't sleep well. I have terrible nightmares. They're not necessarily nightmares about the war, but they're always violent and aggressive.
But how do you know it's related to Korea then, if it's not about war?
Well, I for years I had my nightmares about Korea, and then they modified and became less warlike, if you like. I have to go to bed at least twice during the day. That I suffer from chronic fatigue syndrome, and I sleep for about an hour, and I get up and I'm absolutely exhausted because I've had nightmares. Every time I put my head to a pillow, I have nightmares. So there's a price to pay for my peculiarities.
But in this interview, in recounting it all, you don't appear to have been upset.
No.
Why is that? If you have nightmares.
Well, I can't answer that. I don't know why. But I'm not offended by my military service or my conduct as a soldier. Just a couple of times when what I've done is questionable. But for most of the time, I'm quite proud of the fact that I went into the arena, and in spite of the fact that I was frightened out of my wits quite a lot of the time, and I did my job.
You said about your comrades sitting around with mugs of tea after the battle, and you wished how you could have recorded it. Well, what were they saying?
Oh, how they had conducted themselves during the battle. You know, you'd get a guy saying, well, I stopped counting after I killed 15.
But wasn't there a danger of people trying to cover up their own fear? And
I don't doubt that there's an element of that. I don't doubt it at all. But generally, you'd really have to have been there at the time to have witnessed it. It was an incredible experience. You know, and there's nothing quite like a battlefield on the morning after the battle's finished. There's a cloud that lies over the battlefield from the cordite. And all the extravagances of battle, and the smell is intense. Stench is awful. And it's almost unrealistic. You've got a group of men just sitting there, like nothing has happened. Everything's quiet. And when the smoke eventually settles, and you look at the cost of humanity on a battlefield, it's an incredible sight. Terrible. Chinese put three Chinese armies into the spring offensive, and one army was so badly mauled on the Imjin that it was withdrawn and was never reformed. And they reckon that we filled hospitals all across China. Their casualties have never been declared, to my knowledge anyway. In the thousands. Incredible. I went back up to the Imjin about 6 weeks afterwards, recovering the bodies. In fact, I was in the party that recovered the colonel's body. And a Chinese artillery regiment had been caught in a creeping block barrage by 45 field regiment. And there were mules, guns and men strewn all over the place in bits and pieces. And the stench was absolutely daunting, even for one accustomed to it. Incidentally, that also is one of the lasting impressions I have. And that's digging the dead out. You see, you try to bury your casualties, and you record their number, rank, and name, ideally in a beer bottle, put it in the grave, make a note of the map reference, and then presumably War Graves Commission come along and recover them, but they never did in my time. I never saw a single person from War Graves. But I've dug up bodies, including bodies of men I've known. And they've been so badly decomposed, you know, you're flicking their remains off your hands. And with water rationed to a pint of man a day, you didn't have the luxury of going and standing in the shower and washing it all away. You simply got some dirt and rubbed it off, and that was the best you could do until you could get to a river like the Imjin and have a wash in that. But otherwise, you took the stench of death with you. And of course, it's one of the most pervading stench effects that you can impose upon your nostrils. It just permeates into your clothing, and you reek terrible from it.
So you've gone back to look for the bodies of your own comrades from your
battalion? Oh, that's right, yes. Yes, and we recovered them and reburied them. That was one of my duties. But I've had ardent guys in a hole that couldn't cope. And they've just got out of the hole and said, no more. Don't want to, and I used to get in and do it.
So what happened to all the other bodies apart from your battalion?
Well, God knows. We didn't bother with the Chinese, of course. Didn't bother at all. And the Chinese only left their dead when there was no choice. They always recovered their dead and wounded. So you couldn't have any idea of what their casualty rate was.
So each British regiment sent their own party to deal with them?
That's right, yeah. Yes. But of course, at the Imjin, there wouldn't just be Northumberland Fusiliers. There'd be the Ulster Rifles, because the Ulster Rifles and the Northumberlands were intermingled, certainly during one phase of the battle.
Did you ever go back to Korea post-Korean War?
Yes, I went back in 1984 or 85.
What was that experience like?
It was remarkable because, unlike the Korea that we knew, which was the most hostile environment, gaunt black mountains and hills, very little afforestation, all that had changed. It was as if they'd taken the whole of the population of Korea in a line and gave them shrubs and trees and said, plant, plant. And they went all the way up the hills So when we got there, beautiful reforestation. That was completely changed the impressions. The smell had gone, the stench, bloody awful stench of Korea, that wasn't there. The flies, which were a nightmare, and I have a paranoid about flies, paranoia. In fact, one of my best poems was about the flies. When you've seen, as I have, the body of a young lieutenant that had was covered with flies, you couldn't tell it was a human being. And the sound of this mass, this horde of flies devouring the remains of this decomposing body, incredible, and all the maggots. No wonder I'm bloody nightmares.
What kind of reception did you get from the South Koreans?
Excellent. They were extremely generous. They were very grateful for the fact that we had fought for their country. And I have to say that I was well impressed with their gratitude and their appreciation of our efforts. They truly were exceedingly grateful.
You have also, apart from the nightmares, have attributed many of your physical ill effects to Korea.
Yes. Yes, I attribute that to particularly to DDT, which of course was worldwide banned by World Health, WHO, years ago. But at the time, it was being used to control the livestock we carried around with us and vermin, particularly the rats. It was okay to kill them, but it wouldn't kill us, of course. No, it wouldn't do any harm to us. And it was believed that it was a safe pesticide to use. But of course, it's not so. It's one of the worst pesticides ever invented. Now, of course, that was not only sprayed up our fronts and down our necks. It was sprayed from aircraft. So it went onto everything. And the other source of contamination was the diesel and paraffin and petrol-fired chuffers, as we call them, which we used to heat the dugouts. And of course we dropped a ground sheet over the doorway to the keep the wind out. We'd all be huddled around the fire, breathing in the fumes. And of course it's a failure on management's part, army management's part, for not telling us that we were exposing ourselves to a dangerous chemical, fumes. I haven't smoked for about 35 years, and I have terrible breathing problems. If I bend down to tie my shoelaces and I stand up, I'm breathing heavily, you know, this heavily. So there was more than one price to pay for going to Korea.